Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Quinn and Chris kicking back off here, 4 o'clock hour. Hour number three of our Monday get together. Tony Gwynn Jr. was on the microphone this afternoon with Jesse Agler in Peoria. Cubs took out the Padres 10-5. Padres are now 2-2. Spring training action, slipping 2.5 games behind the Cubs in the race for the Cactus League title.
Doesn't make me happy.
Cubs are 5-0 in spring. They're runaway Cubs.
Good for them.
Kind of the runaway Cubs.
You know what?
Break up the Cubs.
They can go start their season halfway across the world and see how long it takes for them to get back to normal.
Oh, good point. Yeah, they're 5-0, but they're going to be leaving the Cactus League soon.
Are they right. Are they going to be even here for the Cactus League championship ceremony?
I don't think they're going to be. I don't think the Cubs are going to be eligible for the Cacti League title.
I don't know what else you could do.
I don't know what they're going to do with that. Anyway, Cubs won 10-5. Home runs, Padres, Eggy Rosario, two-run shot, Tirso Ornelas, both connecting for their first home runs of the spring.
Oh, it feels good.
Yeah, I bet they felt good about it. J.B. Wendelken, the reliever, coughed up 5 runs in 2/3 of an inning. That's your update on the Padres today.
Oh, I know we have to get the Chris versus the fans, but if you're J.B. Wendelken, how would you, in our profession, what kind of day would that be like? Like, how bad do you feel after you have an outing where you're trying for a job?
And I feel bad for you, but
5.
It's not a great day, but I mean, you got to hope you get another shot.
That's true. That's true. It would be, I guess, it would be like me the first time I was on the radio, and I think just boxed it up. And
it would be similar to, you know, it's raining real hard out there on the Intercom Network. You know, I think it'd be similar to that.
You.
I think that'd be about the same. That'd be a good correlation there.
Wow, it is raining really hard. This is being cool here on the Intercom Empire, so if you're sitting out there.
Yeah, that's
the more I listen to it,
that's 2/3 of an inning, 5 runs right there.
That's the worst it gets every time.
I know. But he'll get some more chances. Mike Schilt smartly said the other day that he's, you know, not going to put a lot of stock in the first several games for pitchers. You got to give these guys a shot, you know, to get into the groove. And he's not going to eliminate Wendelken because of today. And you know, that could be the
debt of favor.
Yeah. All right. Chris versus the fans, 833-288-0973. We got trivia. And if you win the trivia, prizes could be headed your way. Motley Crue just announced a brand new Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM, March 28th to April 19th. And you'll be qualified to win for a chance to win the trip to Vegas to see the show live. You get 2 tickets plus a hotel stay at Park MGM. Get your tickets to Motley Crue, the Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live. It's at Park MGM now at Ticketmaster.com. And here's, I mean, I don't want to knock Tommy Lee and company, but I think this is a better part of the prize. Because tomorrow night at Viejas is a huge Aztec basketball game. They're playing host in New Mexico. First place New Mexico. Talked about it. Aztecs have to find a way to win here. And they're going to have to do it without Magoon Gwath. But you fans are going to have to carry them to a win tomorrow night. Because they got to have it.
Yes.
For the NCAA tournament, you know, at large thing. And you out there, if you win Chris versus the fans today, 2 tickets to the game tomorrow night, Aztecs New Mexico. Get tickets now at GoAztecs.com. I always wonder how true that is, because these games are all sold out, aren't they?
I've already done one ticket search today. Let's do another one.
I know. You were looking for
SDFC
tickets after their thrilling win last night.
Which, by the way, for the people that were calling shenanigans on us, I went to the SDFC website and I clicked on the buy tickets
website. You're right. That's where you went. You might be able to find tickets cheaper than what we were telling you they cost. I'm sure you can this way, that way, the other way. But based on going to the website and going to, purchase tickets, what we told you earlier was accurate.
All right, I'm looking real quick.
Can you get Aztec tickets tomorrow night? Could you buy a ticket to the Aztec New Mexico game?
Let's start Chris versus the fans, and I'll tell you on the other side while it's loading.
Good.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
So you can, Chris, buy tickets for tomorrow night. Most of them are in the upper regions of Viejas Arena, but they're affordable. I mean, $26.
Right, so you could get in, but it would be tough because these games are almost pretty much sell out every night.
The best
Aztec basketball.
The highest resale ticket that I just sorted was $238.
Aztecs tomorrow?
Yes.
It's a great game.
Well, it's center court halfway up the stand, so it's like the perfect spot.
Yeah.
So there you go. There are tickets, but there's very few tickets left. So if you want one, you should go now, or you should try and win.
Why don't you win Chris versus the fans right now? Then you get two tickets right just like that. You can go say hi to Uncle Teddy and bother him before the game. He loves that. Loves when people come up unannounced and say hello.
I don't think he does. Does he?
I actually don't think you could get down on the floor and actually say hello to him.
All of a sudden, he's going to have like people tapping him on the shoulder.
Chris said to come by and say hi.
All right, the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it. You'll get that first question for free today. So let's get started with Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good, good, Jason. Good luck to you, man.
Ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right. What team did SDFC beat last night to open their franchise up?
LA Galaxy.
LA Galaxy is correct. Nice job.
Whooped them, Scrabe. Whooped them, I tell you.
Two rock.
2-0 was not indicative. They could have had two or three more easily.
Hopefully, you watch this game, Jason. What is the name of the SDFC player who scored both of the goals yesterday?
Oh.
The name of the player
who scored both goals yesterday.
Dreyer.
He got it.
That
Dreyer
is
right.
Anders Dreyer scored
both
goals.
You know how I remembered that?
No.
The ice cream.
Dreyer's ice cream. Oh,
yeah, Dreyer's ice cream. But he's not Dreyer's. He's Dreyer.
Yeah.
And he had a third. He could have had the hat trick.
And
I mean, I'm saying the guy made a great save on him. I'm just saying the SDFC like kicked their butts. It's great.
You know how much that S at the end of his name is worth? Billions.
Dreyer. He was the hero last night.
Third and final question for you, Jason.
Good job by you, Jason. You're on top of your soccer stuff right here. You going soccer again on him?
No. Have you tell me if I ask this question, Chris. There are three active managers with over 20 years of managerial experience each. Name all three.
All three?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that question?
There are three active managers with over 20 years managerial experience. Name
We're talking
the
big leagues.
Yes,
evidently,
Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball managers with over 20 years experience.
Dusty Baker?
Okay.
Baker.
Okay. We're going to go... Dave Roberts.
Dave Roberts.
And... let's go Mike Socha.
Mike, okay.
Mike Socha. He's kind of fading there on the...
stay there, though.
Yeah, I don't think Dusty Baker's right, because I don't think he's a manager right now. Like, I could be wrong. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time. All right, two of them I think I have. But this is tough. I think Bochy's one. And I think Terry Francona's the other.
I don't want no balls and strikes system in my game, Chris.
What do I got to have, 20 years?
20 years.
Oh, God, it's so tough to remember everybody that's managing right now. I don't think I can do it, Scrape. I got to get all three.
You got to get all three. Yep.
You're tough.
Should I buzz you? Five.
Oh, come
four,
on.
Four.
Three.
Two.
Can't think of it.
One.
Winner. For you, Jason.
Wow, Jason, you're going to kick yourself, Chris.
I'm sure I will.
Because that person managed here in San Diego recently.
Who
Bob
is it?
Melvin.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't have come up with that.
Stay there, Jason.
Bob
good
Melvin.
Job.
Good one, but I would not. For some reason, I didn't even think of Bob Melvin.
Well, because he was lost with the A's for about
yeah, right.
15 that was, of those years.
That's a great question.
Thank
great
you.
Great question.
Thank you.
And it's a big win for you, Jason. Stay on the line. You're qualified for a chance to go see Motley Crue. You also will go to the Aztec basketball game tomorrow night. Aztecs against the Lobos. Congrats. Now I got two.
You
I think
did.
I got to get some credit for two. But
no, that's pretty good. That's
it was hard
good.
To do. I don't know why I couldn't. Bob Melvin didn't even come to mind.
Maybe that's because he's so far out of mind.
Where is he? Oh, he's the Giants now, yeah.
I saw something pretty funny, though, just now on the TV. Justin Verlander made his debut today with the Giants, and he ended up, I guess Matt Chapman wheeled him out on the field in a wheelchair.
Oh, goodness. For the first inning?
I don't know that he did it to the mound, but there was a wheelchair involved with Justin Verlander today.
Spring training should be
fun.
Spring training should be fun.
He's 42.
Yeah, we should all be so old.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
I mean, Justin Verlander is just 2 years off of me. And
42 is
not. I don't
not...
know who's done more in their life, me or Justin Verlander.
42, okay? It's close. It's close. all right, good job by you, Jason. When we come back, is the end in sight for one of NFL football's most controversial plays?
Oh, gosh.
Traffic next, then...
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
That. Four 18 is the time. Chris Hello? Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yes, sir.
There he is. After a day on the mic down in Peoria, Tony has returned home to the. We're at the Odyssey Palace. He's at the Gwynn Castle in Peoria, and we're happy to have him join us here. Padres fell today to the Cubs, 10-5. But my guy, E-Guy. Otherwise known correctly as Eggy Rosario, hit a home run today, as did Tirso Ornelas, Tony. So, you know, you've got this big fight going on for left field, and a lot of guys seem like they want to get in on it.
Yeah, no, a lot of guys performing well early in camp and taking advantage of the opportunities that have been presented to them. And I think, you know, Toddy having to miss all of camp, and not miss all of camp, but not having been able to play in camp, has opened up opportunity for the Padres not to look at a right fielder, obviously, but to get these guys who are battling for some of these other positions opportunity to play a different spot and show their versatility. And so guys are taking advantage of it. Eggy looked good again today. That was off of a righty. Remember, all his hits, I think, came off of lefties last year. All his extra base hits came off of lefties last year. And so to get on a righty and go Oppo Taco, very nice. Very nice.
Very good.
There's a lot of good players, as you said, went with their name in the hat.
By the way, The other guy that's, you know, opening an eye or two, it's only four games, but Oscar Gonzalez. And I don't know that people remember who this guy was. I certainly didn't even know the Padres had him until I saw him in the lineup the other day. He was a starting right fielder for the Guardians when they went to the playoffs 2 years ago. He was the guy, and I don't know if anybody remembers this, but the first playoff game that year for the Guardians was against, I believe, Tampa Bay, and I think it was scoreless into the 15th inning.
I
and
do remember
Oscar
this.
Gonzalez hit the walk-off home run to win that game.
That is crazy. I remember
that. Was
that
a couple years ago. Last year he did not do a whole lot. But, you know, Tony, 11 home runs and 300-plus at-bats, 296 average. I mean, the guy had something there a couple years ago, and maybe the Padres can find it back.
It's funny you mentioned Oscar. I talked to Victor Rodriguez about him 2 days ago, and he had him when he was in Cleveland. And I think he is a guy to keep an eye on because he's still young. You can see the size and the kind of the athleticism that comes along with it. And you know, talking to Ricky or talking to Victor about it, he was saying that year he was great. You know, and I think the next year he kind of lost some confidence and, you know, has really been trying to find his way since. And, you know, what better person to help you get back to there than one of the coaches that was there with you when you had it going well. And so he's certainly a guy you got to keep an eye on. You're right. There's not been a lot of conversation about him, but he has played extremely well in he's played in every game to this point. He hasn't missed one. And he's done very well. And so certainly keep an eye out on this guy because he's got a lot of ability, and it's just a matter of him putting it together and showing some consistency.
When Oscar Gonzalez becomes a big star for the Padres, I would like for everybody to remember I was the one who brought it up on
of course
the first
you were.
Day of spring training.
Of course you were. I want to correct one thing. I said that it was 2 years ago that he hit the home run. It was actually 2022
yeah.
that he hit the home run. 2023... he slumped, and then 2024, he was not in the big leagues last mm-hmm. year.
Right.
So I wanted to clear that up for those who correct
fact checkers out there.
Oh yeah, and we lead the league in them, as Scraby can tell you.
Yeah,
so if we say anything that's even remotely wrong, I mean people will be on the chat in 2 seconds. So
yeah.
All right, now real quick, Tony, we'll get back to more Padres stuff, but I touched on this before you jumped on here. The first touchdown in the Super Bowl this year was scored on the infamous Philadelphia Eagles tush push. And apparently, according to Troy Vincent, NFL's executive vice president of football operations, former Miami Dolphin all-pro corner, by the way, Troy Vincent...
I needed to know that.
Well, you do now. He said today that an NFL team has submitted a rule proposal to ban the tush push. Now, Vincent would not identify the team, but our sources, led by Tony Gwynn Jr., say that the name of the team perhaps leak out earlier today.
I can't remember where I saw it, but I 100% saw it.
Okay.
And it said Green Bay. Now, I would later see it as unidentified.
Right,
so,
yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe... ESPN or whoever reported it had their source wrong and they had to take it down, or they had it right and you
somebody
know,
silenced them.
Right. One to two.
Well, I hope it was the Packers. I don't know. We've talked about this before, and, you know, as much as it does seem to be almost an unfair play, it really isn't because no other team in the NFL can consistently do it.
You
and
know,
until everybody can do it, I don't think you can, you know, penalize the Eagles for being good at something.
Yeah, I wonder, will it become a safety thing? I wonder if that is how they ultimately take this out.
Chris Jones
because,
got hurt.
Yeah, I was just telling Scraby. I was just on the other side of this with Scraby during the break.
Yeah,
but as I started sitting there, I remember seeing Chris Jones like.
Yeah,
over there getting his neck worked on. Looked like he was in a lot of pain, and then I remembered he was pretty much disappeared in that game. And you wonder if and you hear when these guys talk about it, an offensive lineman love to run block. That's like their favorite thing to do. And they all despise this particular play because it's so tough on their bodies. And I wonder if that is the way they ultimately get it out. Because it's not a disadvantage because there's only, like you said, there's only one team that can consistently do it. But when you start seeing not only, you know, the guys who are running the play, but the opposing team getting hurt,
right,
you wonder if that is how they ultimately get it
that's
up out
enough.
There.
All right, so yeah. The Chiefs have one bad thing happen to them, and they're going to change the rule?
But the thing is, it wasn't...
you knew he was coming in
right
with that one.
It wasn't just the Chiefs. You started seeing it more and more over the course of the season that dudes were getting hurt, whether it was Philly or Buffalo or whoever was trying it and whoever's on the defensive side. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying that I could see that being a way that they...
That would be a way to around it.
Well,
to,
what if they
to get it out.
What if they said that on the defensive side, you can't try to put your body down like they do, which is getting them hurt, which is basically just putting a speed bump in the middle of the road and then everybody is just rolling over you. Like what? I think that's how Chris Jones got hurt.
I think they want to avoid
everything,
having to change rules just to keep the rule. But listen, whoever put it in, their case may not be good enough, and they may continue to do it. I don't know. I'm just saying I could see a scenario in which the NFL says, we deem this too dangerous, basically.
That's how they'll get out of it. I think you're right, Tony. Could you just – I'm going to give Scraby a quick shot at this question. Could you imagine the Dolphins – calling that play with Tua one time, how many games would he miss from there?
Well, he would have to be wearing bubble wrap, so they would call timeout, bubble wrap him up, and then put him in.
You know what? Just based on how they play, I could see a scenario in which every single person on the offensive side get hurt on that one play. Like the whole offensive line.
For the
Tua,
Dolphins?
Like, yeah, everybody.
Well, yeah, well, because they're the softest team in football. They'd call the tush push, and then McDaniels and the trainer would have to run out, and the field would be littered with their players.
Littered with Dolphin bodies.
Somehow Tyreek Hill got hurt in the whole thing.
He would get hurt. Nobody would survive that.
Who do you think would Tua be the worst tush push candidate around the league? I mean, Brock Purdy's not very great either. He's small.
No, but Tua's got to be the most breakable quarterback in the league, isn't he?
He's up there.
It's
Aaron Rodgers would be pretty hard.
It's just his head, though. He wouldn't have to worry about like getting his head banged. It's not. He's just kind of just falling forward.
That's true.
With a whole lot of pressure.
With a whole lot of pressure on that head.
And there's two guys behind you that are shoving you in there, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a comfortable position for the quarterback in any stretch of the imagination.
Now, Jalen Hurts seems to just shrug it right off. He goes into the end zone, throws the ball to the ref, and runs to the sideline. He seems fine every time he does it.
Jalen Hurts is a grown man. He's a big dude.
He squats 700 pounds, Chris.
He proves it on the tush push. All right, so it's either the Packers, but it's definitely somebody that is trying to get rid of the tush push. We'll see what happens there. We have a big five. There's even crazier stories than that one. When we come back from Scraby, more Gwen and Chris on the flip side of this. Gwen and Chris, rolling along here on a Monday. Happy to have you with us to kick off the week. It's going to be an interesting week of Gwen and Chris. My travel schedule in the next 2 days is awful.
Oh, you think?
It's as bad as it could be. So, Sam Levitt's going to be checking in with you the next couple of days.
Sammy Lev
coming through big time for us. Appreciate that. Tony, of course, in and out of the broadcast booth with the Padres. A 2-2 start for the Friars after losing today to the Cubs. One other baseball note before we get to the big five. Former Padre Sean Manaea has been shut down for a few weeks. Right oblique strain. Will likely start the season on the IL, according to manager Carlos Mendoza. Of course, Manaea had a great season last year with the Mets. Mm. It is really funny how these things work.
Career year? Big contract?
Listen to you. Always thinking there's a conspiracy when maybe it just happened this way. When he pitched for the Padres, he did not have great success. Last year, he went to the Mets, and he was on it, man. 12-6, 3.47. He's projected as the number two starter.
So
but he's not going to be now because he's hurt.
Scrape, so. Let me get this straight. So you think that he was like, body, don't get hurt. All right, we're going to get through this year, and we're gonna make a bunch of money, right?
That's
and his body,
here.
Like, his body listened, and it was like, you know what? Yeah, let's do this. And then he told, or he was like, body, do what you want to do now. And it
I
just
made
like,
my money.
Yeah.
Got my bag.
Well, the other thing is when he was a Padre, Manaea told his body not to try because it didn't really matter because it wasn't a contract year. So his body just said, forget it.
He did admit that he didn't try as hard as he should have here in San Diego.
No, he did not.
I'm going to go get it.
Please go get that. Please go get it.
Okay. He was 8-9 for the Padres, 4.96.
I didn't try as hard as I should have.
Well, he was in the contract here. Didn't matter.
I don't know if that was an actual quote, but...
I remember we interviewed him in spring training that year, 2022. I remember him telling me he wasn't going to really give it much of an effort.
Can someone please send me this because I can't find it fast enough?
Please send this
because this is the one response I get back about Sean Manaea as well. He didn't care about baseball when he was here.
Please,
oh yeah, because that's what he said though. That's what you're saying. He said that, you know what, I'm not going to try. I didn't try that hard when I was there. I should have tried harder.
You know, I probably shouldn't have phrased it the way I did. So that is on me. That is
You're
on me.
A nutcase.
Yeah.
You ready for more nutty stuff, Chris?
Let's see what it has. Big Five is coming up after traffic here.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I have a quote from Sean Manaea.
All right.
Let me read it. This is from NBC Sports Bay Area.
Okay.
When he was introduced by the Giants, he had admitted he has at times been lazy and lackadaisical between starts. He said, quote, as much as it sucks to have the year I had last year, the San Diego year, I think going forward it was probably the best thing for me as far as lighting a fire under my butt and really getting my routines down, and I realized that I can't just stay in this game if I'm going to be lazy. It's kind of disrespectful to the people that have come before me, that are coming after me. Really made me realize that I have to put the work in. I have to do little things and most people don't think about. But if I want to be up here and be the person I know I can be, it's those little things. Last year definitely made me realize all those things.
That is not the same as not trying hard.
I agree with you there.
Okay, there you go.
Not trying hard and being lazy is different, but there are similar sentiments behind them.
First of all, yeah, maybe so. I mean, lazy is, it's not the same lazy you're thinking of. I can guarantee you.
Let's put it this way. When you're talking about lazy, I think Scraby.
Okay, don't
knows
even
where
put
this
me
is
in.
Coming
don't
from.
Even. Don't even. I am not lazy. I went and played tennis yesterday, Chris.
Whoa, no. Good for you.
Picked or up I chased the tennis ball. I chased
the
ball
tennis,
around.
Huh?
Now Chris's wife doesn't believe I even like chase the ball around.
We don't.
It's getting ridiculous how you guys don't give me any credit for my athletic feats. All right. I think it's
you almost got yourself you almost got yourself through the whole women's basketball season without coming out and trying three-pointers, by the way.
I want to come down there. I just don't know when to go.
Number five.
Dennis Lynn wrote in The Athletic over the weekend about Dylan Cease and his new pitches that he is working on. And one of them is a, quote, arm speed changeup and then a two-seam fastball. Here he is with us at FanFest talking about his new pitch. I had to cut this down a little bit, but here's what he told us about those new pitches.
I'm working on an upper half thing, a glove thing. I don't know. It's kind of new territory for me.
So you're kind of figuring it out as you go.
Yeah, but it really gets to the point where it feels good, and then from there it's just ramping up the intensity And because anytime you do something at a like a higher power, higher speed,
yeah,
it's like a new feeling altogether. So I can sit and train it one way, but until I'm throwing 98 with
and
it.
Doing in game and, speed, yeah.
So there you go. That was just a part of his answer, but he said he was working on things and he couldn't, you know, translate it to the big leagues just yet. All right, Tony, you're up first. How much would that change Dylan Cease if he can develop a big league changeup?
Assuming it's this arm speed changeup thing is the same thing, yes. I think that is a big deal.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what the quote-unquote arm speed changeup
is. I went to the article just to make sure I understood arm speed. What'd you put in there?
Arm speed changeup. Is how they list it in the article, which I guess would be...
Yes, experimenting with two potential additional... Yeah, it's arm speed. It's a changeup. You know, the idea is that you have good arm speed on it, right? So you throw it like it looks like your fastball, and then it just flutters out of your hand. So, fine. We'll go with the arm speed changeup. Yes, I think that is a huge pitch for him. You think about what he possesses, right? It's you got the fastball that rides up. He's kind of got that wipeout slider. He's got the knuckle curve that he's throwing there every once in a while. He doesn't really have he's got everything going north, east. He's got a little hump, and now he got something that, a little change up to kind of go down and away, something moving the opposite direction, right?
I love the north, the east, the hump.
You know, he got a little curveball.
No,
right?
I know. It's good.
You know what I'm saying? There you go.
It's good.
Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah, and now he gets something going the opposite direction. I'll never forget. Kenley Jansen was the same way. He had the four seam. He had that Mariano Rivera cutter pitch, but he needed something, as he would say, I need something that goes down. And so this is that for Cease if he can execute it.
All right, Chris, what do you think?
Oh my goodness, what do I think? I mean, he's already got some of the best stuff in all of baseball, does he not?
He does.
I mean, without my analytic degree, you know, when Dylan Cease is on, forget it, right? You can't hit the guy. And then if he gets a pitch that comes in about, I don't know, 7-8 miles per hour slower than the rest of them,
yeah,
but it looks the same, you know, looking at a couple more no-hitters.
Yeah.
That would be nice and fun. In MLB The Show, I'm having a really hard time picking up on the changeup, guys. So, need to figure that one out. Keep striking out. It's not good.
Number four.
All right.
I'm happy to hear that.
Thanks, Chris, at least for acknowledging that.
Well, it's okay. It's a changeup. You just wait longer.
Yeah, right? I realize that, but it doesn't come out like that, Chris.
It's not happening.
It's okay not to be good at baseball.
But it's a video game. I have to be good at it. Anyway.
You don't have to be.
It's Chris's favorite time of the year, everybody. NFL Combine Week. He just rolled his eyes and stuck his tongue out. But
you know what I am getting a big kick out of, though, is the NFL Network trying to make it, promote it, and pump it up in some of those ads that they do. Like, dreams start here.
Oh, yeah, I have seen those.
Yeah. Don't miss it. The guy running 4.6 seconds and starting his Hall of Fame career. You need to be there for it.
Was Chris Jones the one who had a malfunction of his shorts while he was running?
That's terrible.
The 40-yard dash? I'm serious,
he
Chris.
He is, yes. Oh, yes. I saw the clip the other day, and I don't want to ever see it again.
It's hilarious. It is really funny. All right, so University of Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders, considered to be one of the top two players at quarterback in April's draft, will not work out at the scouting combine in Indianapolis this week, sources told Chris's favorite source, ESPN. Though Sanders won't work out in Indy, he will meet with teams, the sources said. Quarterbacks are scheduled to arrive tomorrow, which actually the combine opened today. Their on-field workouts are slated for Saturday, but he's not going to do that. I haven't heard from about Cam Ward. I should have done a little bit of searching before I did this topic, honestly. But Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels did not throw last year. Chris, is it a bad idea to throw at the combine?
I think it is if the only direction you can go is down. And I feel like Sanders is probably in that category.
And I would say that a lot of guys say that they feel better throwing at their pro days because they're throwing with receivers that they're comfortable with in an area that they're comfortable with. And at the combine, you might not get the best guys and it could mess up things.
I just think Shedeur Sanders, the less he does, the better. Because he's been built up way better than I really think he is.
So I think, I mean, this is my own opinion. I don't think the guy's going to be a great NFL quarterback right away, just from what I've seen.
Could take time.
And I've been wrong many times on these things. So I think he's better off just taking the hype and going into the draft that way.
All right, Tony, what do you think? Throwing at the combine, bad idea?
It just depends on who you are. I mean, I think it's different for each of the individual prospects. We've seen some big-time quarterbacks go and throw there. We don't see it often because, as Chris said, you can only go down from here. I mean, just think, there's a lot of guys that go to this and they get scrutinized there so much, and then they get back to their pro day and they bring their stock back up. So, you know, I think it's case by case is what it is on it, if it's good or bad.
Cam Ward is uncertain as to whether he's going to throw or not. He told Good Morning Football today.
He did, huh?
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Number three. Now, I'm going to say a name here.
All right.
I'm going to say a name. Was that Dave Marcus? I'm going to say a name here. And this is a name that I have pronounced to myself over 100 times, hoping to nail it, because it is a difficult name. But it's only been a few weeks since Luka Doncic has come to the Lakers. He already has a mural painted up in L.A. Artist Arutyun Gozochukyun. I think I got that right.
Well, let's put it this way.
Arutyun,
we certainly can't argue
Gozochukyun
with you.
Gozochukyun.
We don't know how to pronounce it.
Gozochukyun. That is the name. He shared photos of his...
pat himself on the back. Yeah, good for you. You got it
thank
right.
Thank you. Shared photo of his newest mural today, which is located at 8251 Melrose Avenue in L.A. The mural features a photo from a 2019 interaction between Doncic and Lakers legend Kobe Bryant. I'm going to put this photo up on the stream right now. And if you don't, if you're driving, you can go ahead and Google this. But they have the famous picture of Luka meeting Kobe, going for a high five. But the one thing that's different about this is that Luka is in a Lakers jersey. He is not in the Dallas Mavericks jersey that he was wearing when that photo took place. That's not the controversy. So, Tony, when should a mural be put up for a new player in a city?
I don't know. I don't know that this is a real thing, right? I mean, they're putting up murals all over the place everywhere. I think that's just cool art expression. I don't know that there necessarily needs to be something that's done that allows you to have a mural. Typically, it has been people that have had some type of significance to the community in which they are. I don't know. I'm not in LA, but I would assume that there are a lot of people who feel like Luka's already brought some happiness to their life. So I don't know. I don't have a set of rules that you should have to have a mural. I just think, generally speaking, it has been of people who have had an impact in your community.
Chris, when should a mural be put up for a new player in town?
This is fine. The minute you're required.
The minute you're required. Okay, yeah. That's an answer at least.
Well, I don't have a good one for you on this. I mean, if the Padres, I mean, I could have seen somebody running out and putting a Juan Soto one up, you know, the day he was even
You know,
brought
I'm surprised
here.
That he doesn't have one. He's right? Like, I mean, maybe the only happen, guy who doesn't have
yeah,
one.
Yeah, we have a lot of them around this town. I mean, there was a lot of excitement before he ever stepped on the field.
There
right?
was,
so
yeah.
Somebody could have put a mural up. I will tell you, what's the address of that? Melrose, what, 80-something?
8251 Melrose Avenue.
I lived, just 6 blocks from there growing up.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty close, because the 80 part is about the area I live, not
so
on
you
Melrose.
Are a Dodgers fan?
Yes.
Okay.
Lifelong.
That's what I got from that.
Yes.
Lifelong.
yes. You know, I went to the Jace Tingler mural the other day, and it was just a little sad. All right.
Wow, is that funny? I'm pausing for all the listeners. I'm pausing for all the listeners to laugh. I want to give them a minute to chuckle. I want to give the listeners a moment to chuckle.
You got donged off the
Jace Tingler
right there.
Mural.
Nate said SD did a mural for Cease, and about 2 months later, it was widely reported the Pods were going to move him. See, that's why I'm like, anyway, I'm just going to move on. I have some more thoughts in the mural world later in this
preview
show.
That will maybe, those type of things happening will make mural, people putting murals up, think twice about it. Maybe it does. I don't know. Does it really bothering anybody?
That's no, no. I've only.
I mean, people do.
By once or twice.
Do people not do tattoos of their favorite players who then move on, like get
That's
traded
true.
The next year? I'm sure that
like
happens
Drake.
Often.
Like Drake, what did he get a tattoo of?
LeBron James.
Oh gosh, he's a Raptors fan. LeBron's never played for the Raptors.
Yeah, it's good. It is what it is.
Drake. Number two. The Yankees recently got rid of their archaic beard policy. Now some fans are hoping to do away with another policy, and it's kind of controversial because one of the rumors as to why Juan Soto chose the Mets was because the Yankees would not include a free luxury suite for Juan Soto and his family throughout the length of his contract. Now, Aaron Judge... Tony's laughing. Aaron Judge just got a new deal, and he pays for his own suite. Derek Jeter is rumored to have paid for his own suite, and the Yankees decided if they give it to Soto, that sets a bad precedent and is slightly disrespectful for players who came before Soto. Chris,
where did you get this?
He got it from the guy that said Sean Manaea didn't try. Same guy.
Chris, you heard the quote. You can't tell me that he didn't say he said he was lazy.
That is not the same as saying I'm not trying.
I think he was honestly, I mean, let's go back to Manaea for a second. I think when you say what he said, you're saying that he probably didn't maybe stay the extra hour in the weight room that he needed to do,
right,
put the extra mileage in, do the extra studying that he needed to do. I think those are the kinds of things he's talking about. But I can't believe he came here and didn't want to get anybody out. That would be kind
of
stupid.
Anyway, where did you get
anyway,
this from?
Anyway, back to this one.
I don't know where I got this from, but I've seen this from a few different people, honestly.
I feel like we've done this one, exact one.
Maybe
about
we have.
The suites and whether it's a good idea or a
no,
bad
we did
idea.
The security guard thing. Because Juan Soto apparently got mad at his security guard because he didn't let his family in without
yeah, we
credential.
Did that one, too. We did that one, too, with your Juan Soto hating behind.
Okay, so it's not about Juan Soto, everybody.
Before you get to finish with this, before we get off Juan Soto, Tony missed it the other day when I commended Juan Soto for buying a nice car for Brent Beatty.
No, I was there.
Oh, you were?
I was
okay.
there. I
Good.
Was there.
All right. I just wanted to get that in before I rip him for this one.
All right, well, we're going to have to... You're going to have to wait to the other side because the question's not about Juan Soto at all. It's about the Yankees. Do you have an issue with the Yankees not giving suites in contracts is the question. I even believe, and I don't know this for sure, so please do not quote me on this, but I believe that Yu Darvish pays for his own suite. So
move on.
There you go.
Don't quote him on that one.
Don't
everybody.
Quote me just on it. Just quote me on Sean Manaea.
Said it.
Just quote me on Sean Manaea, everybody. We got two more topics of the Big Five when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.